The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVB Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all, it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 268. I hope you're doing well out there, and I thank you very much for checking out this episode. My guest is a writer from Canada by the name of Jeff Dale. And Jeff is currently working on a book about a very unusual and unique topic. He is writing a book about Shemp Howard. That's right, one of the Three Stooges. As a matter of fact, Jeff calls him the original Stooge. I really got to be honest. I did some research for this episode, as I always do. And I learned a lot about the Three Stooges that I didn't know about. And then Jeff filled me in on some other interesting facts that I didn't know. Because, look, I wasn't a huge Three Stooges fan. Growing up as a kid, I may have seen a show here and there. But I just thought those were the three funny guys that did, you know, the eye poke and the nyuk nyuk and all that jazz. But there was more to the Stooges than just that. As I learned in my conversation with Jeff, Shemp Howard had a lot of very serious roles that he played in other projects, which I never knew that. So I hope you enjoy our conversation, and I hope you learn some things, too, about a set of icons from another era in Hollywood. But before I throw it to our conversation, I do need to talk real quickly about some other cool things that are going on with yours truly. First of all, as I mentioned last time, I'm very proud that the PVD Cast is now being carried on the Scene Snobs Network. And you can find the show and all the other great shows by going to thescenesnobs.com or just for search for The Scene Snobs on Facebook. I really thank Mick for giving the PVD Cast a home on the network. But Mick has also added my other project with Jason Taylor, Matt Talk, to the Scene Snobs Network. As a matter of fact, starting this Saturday, the 23rd of January, you can hear Matt Talk every single Saturday at noon. So if you're a fan of that show, or you're a fan of Andy Griffith, or you're just a fan of retro television, you need to check out Matt Talk. We're starting from the very beginning on the Scene Snob Network. So if you've never checked out this podcast before, Jason and I started it in the middle of a pandemic. We didn't really think it was going to take off, but it certainly has. And we appreciate every single listen that we get. And we hope to expand that audience even further now that we're on the Scene Snobs Network. But let anybody know that might like to hear all about Andy Griffith and Matt Locke, let them know that they can hear it on Saturdays at noon over at thescenesnobs.com or The Scene Snobs on Facebook. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I need to thank the wonderful sponsor of the PBD Cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They got everything that you need for your comic book fandom. They have single issues, collections, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, back issues, posters, you name it, they got it. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can check them out online. Just go to their website, wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics and check out all the cool things that are going on at the store. And no matter how you interact with them, whether you are able to stop by the store or if you interact with them online, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jeff Dale talking about his book about Shemp Howard. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with a man who has written quite an unusual book, and I'm going to talk to him all about it. Mr. Jeff Dale, welcome to the PVD cast. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. We're up in Canada. We're frozen to the bones. That's all I can say.
Well, let's jump on into it. You wrote a book, and I said it was unusual because I think the topic is one that catches some people off guard, maybe. Your book is called The Original Stooge. It's a book about Shemp Howard from the Three Stooges.
That's true. I should correct one thing. It isn't out yet. It's pretty much half written. There's so many details about this because it's a contentious issue in a lot of ways. There's a lot of facts about it. So I think I'm doing as much research and even more editing with this than I am writing, but I'm hoping in the end it's going to really bring a picture. Basically send a picture to people out there who would never have thought this actually happened, but it did.
So why write a book about Shemp Howard?
Well, two good reasons. One is there's never been a book written about him, ever. So this is going to be the first one. So that's probably really good for me because that got me a publisher real quick, because this particular gent at Barrow Manor Media down in the States has been looking for someone to write this book for a long time. And lo and behold, someone up in Canada, someone born in England of all places, decides he's going to write a book on Shemp. And my main goal, to be honest with you, I love the Stooges, unlike any other guy. And by the way, there's an awful lot of women out there, they won't admit it, but behind your back, they're laughing their heads off when the Stooges come on. There's quite a few of them, and I know some personally. But what I wanted to do is to get it out there that Curly and Larry Moe, great, I love them. You know, they're the Stooges, but they're not actually the original Stooges. The original two Stooges were put together, and not as Stooges, but they were just sort of backups. Ted Healy, who was really, really well-known, extremely popular comedian back in the 20s and so, he got his buddies, a childhood friend of his, Moe, that's Moe Howard, and Shemp. Now, there's a little dispute on, actually, who's the original Stooge. I like to clarify this by saying that it's debatable. I always call Shemp the original Stooge because he was the go-to guy through all those early years with Ted Healy. Whenever you look to see who the Stooges or his backup comics were on the bill with Ted, who was the headliner, Shemp was generally speaking the one that was always there. So that's why I like to say he's the original Stooge. Him and his brother Mo, let's put it that way. So that's the first thing. And there's a lot more about it. The people, Stoogeholics, I'm one of them, I guess. They know a lot of these facts already, but even I didn't know it to this extent. There is so much more to Shemp than people realize. He's not the guy who backed up Curly, or sort of, should I say, replaced Curly in 46, 47, which he actually did. But that's not his claim to fame. He's got a lot more to him. And I'll give you a fact right now that maybe you'll be a little astounded. In terms of solo films, he appeared in 105 feature films other than being a Stooge. How does that grab you?
Wow, 105. And that's kind of the early days of cinema here in America, because it's not like it is today where it seems like they're cranking out films all the time.
Exactly. And wow. I'll pose another – I'll give you some little teasers that rather than tell everyone what's in the book so they won't go out and buy it, they'll say, well, I know that. But I'm going to give you some little teaser, which I think you'll find funny. Just imagine any of the Stooges, Curly, Larry, and Moe. This didn't happen to them, but just picture one of the Stooges playing a kind of a slick gangster with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and a basically a gun in his back pocket, and he shoots his partner in crime. Do you think any of the Stooges would ever do that?
No, certainly not.
Well, they did. There was the film that came out in 1935. Interestingly enough, it was released on Halloween. I don't know if that means anything, but it was a film called Convention Girl, put out by the Falcon Company. And essentially, I mean, Shemp was not the star, but I'll tell you, he plays this hoodlum, you know, nicely dressed, little nice hat on, you know, smoking the old cigarettes. By the way, Shemp was a cigar aficionado, but he looked an occasional cigarette. So I get politically incorrect, I suppose, nowadays, but he looked pretty sharp, but he was a nasty little crook, and he had a partner in crime who basically halfway through the movie or such, he shoots him. He wants to kill him because, you know, they have some major disagreements. So Shemp pulled it off. In fact, this film came out after the Hays Code came out, which is basically when films were sort of censored much more strictly. And, you know, not as much violence, not as much, I don't know, nudity, some choice language. So it was a little tame. But I tell you, every time Shemp shows up, the film comes alive. So I didn't just see it on YouTube, which folks can do if they like. I went out and bought it. I thought, I got to have this in my collection. So there's one little fact. I mean, how does that grab you? Can you imagine any of the Stooges doing something like that?
No, I see them all as always being comedic, number one. And I don't think that something that would be that quote-unquote dark of a character would be something that any of the Stooges would do.
Yeah, I'm sure in a lot of respects, it's pretty well known that Mo really wanted to get into the dramatic end of the business. Well, that's what he wanted. You know, he was a pretty capable guy. And I mean, you know what Mo is like. He was pretty good with the fists and the eye pokes and all the rest. Although, by the way, I don't know what the truth is to this, but the oft-quoted fact, or at least rumor, is that, in fact, it was Shemp who sort of, if you want to call it, invented the eye poke. It was him. Apparently, he was sitting down playing with Larry in a poker game or a game of cards, whatever, and he thought Larry had pulled a fast one. And so, rather than just walk away from the game, apparently he poked him in the eyes. And Mo was sitting down there looking at this and said, "Oh, I like that." And took a note of it. Now that's the story. I don't know if that's legitimately a fact, but there's a little tidbit there. And the first eye poke that ever occurred wasn't administered by Mo. In fact, it was administered by a well-known Stooge sort of backup player, a very good actor, Bud Jameson. And it was in the Three Stooges, Curly, Larry, and Mo, was in the original short called Women Haters Club. And our friend, Mr. Jameson, he administered the first on-screen poke in the eyes. But people who are Stoogeholics will tell you, they'll go back to Shemp and say he was the one who really did it. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it is kind of curious. And as you say, darkness, isn't it always associated with the Stooges? And for the most part, in the 105 films, some shorts and some features, Shemp was more comedic than anything else. But he could sort of switch it around. One of the directors, Jules White, said he had this look, you know. He had kind of a little bit of a mean look to him. It looked like he could handle himself. A lot of people said he looked a little bit too much like his brother Mo. And he had that sort of tendency that you think, well, you know, he could stand up for himself if he wanted. And another curiosity is that his favorite sport, his greatest love outside of his family, was in fact boxing. He wasn't a boxer, but he basically followed it from his youth right up until literally to the night he died in Los Angeles. And there you have it. There's another interesting fact about Shemp and boxing. Just a great, great story.
Well, can I ask a couple of questions about Shemp? Because while doing research, sure. You know, I discovered that he had a tendency to ad-lib quite a bit when he was on set. And he's had some on-again, off-again partnerships with various different people, including Ted Healy. This kind of paints him as being like a rebel, so to speak. So was he truly a rebel, or was he just kind of maybe misunderstood?
Well, to me, the word rebel, in this sense, the word anyway, I use it as a complimentary term. And yes, he was known as an ad libber. I mean, you know, nowadays, let's face it, there's an awful lot of comics out there. You know, back in the well, I'd say 60s, 70s and whatever, you know, people like George Carlin, the late Robin Williams, great, great people known for a lot of ad-libbing. In those days, there was a considerable amount of it going on. Now, the reality is, in most of the stooge flicks, the shorts that were directed, especially by a gentleman by the name of Jules White, there wasn't really very much room for any ad-libbing. So you'd be hard-pressed to find it. However, if you go through some of the features he was in, it's pretty obvious that when Shem comes on, he's winging it. I mean, he's just plastering it with the script is there, but you know, he's read it. He knows the script. He was very studious in that way, but he was very, very good with ad-libbing. And a lot of people basically refer to that as being one of his talents. So yes, you're absolutely right on that. And he did have one partnership. There's some strange ones, and be ready for these. Ted Healy, of course. Ted Healy, basically, I would say, was the master. I mean, he if it weren't for him, I don't know if you could say there wouldn't be a Three Stooges, but unlikely. Unlikely. I mean, you know, he was the guy to sort of line. But also, by the way, Stooges, you're talking anywhere from 5'3" up to about, well, Shemp, sometimes he's noted as being 5'5", 5'6", 5'7". So there, you've got your bigger stooge there. Ted Healy was probably anywhere from 5'11 to 6 feet. And you know from your research, you know, it depends on what bio you pick up. Everyone seems to have a different height. You know, like these days, Tom Cruise started out as 5'9", but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Tom Cruise was more like about 5'5". But anyway, but he did have some unusual, during, you know, some of the partnerships he had, not as well known, not overly successful, but he made a film in for Universal with none other, if you can believe this, with Lon Chaney as a partner, a comedic partner. Now, can you believe that?
No, I am shocked by that statement.
Well, if you're ever interested in seeing it's a bit of a strange film. I kind of like it because it's another example of how Shemp really learned how to handle himself with bigger men in terms of partnerships and just being on stage. Shemp never really looks out of place. It doesn't appear like he's a little man who's really, he's being overshadowed by the big guy. He really can move along well. He occupies space well, whether it's on the stage in the film. But San Antonio Rose, they play a couple of thugs trying to make life really miserable for this casino owner. And it's quite funny. It's, you know, a bit of drama, but mainly comedic. But for anyone who wants to check it out, it was released in 1949, the sixth month, the 20th day of 1941, and it's called San Antonio Rose. Great stuff. And you want to know someone even bigger who he appeared with was one of his neighbors in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles area, I should say, none other than John Wayne, the Duke. And he appears with the Duke in a film called Pittsburgh, a Universal film. The co-stars in that, and I'm not saying Shemp is the star, the stars of that film are essentially John Wayne, Marlene Dietrich, and Randolph Scott. And Shemp has a really nice bit where he's tailoring John Wayne for a new suit. And it's spectacularly funny. And like I said, you're looking at John Wayne, well, you know, he's what, 6'4", 6'5"? And in the background, there's Randolph Scott, probably around the same height. And there's Shemp, you know, dusting off the Duke and fitting him. He looks perfectly in place, and he's funny. And the next scene you see is across the street. Be ready for this again. He's in the seats looking at a boxing match, jumping up and down, screaming, waving his hands. So he was in his place. So there's a couple. But one of the best ever was I don't know how familiar you are with her, Mary Wicks. She's rather tall. Did you ever recall her in any movies?
What movies would she be in? Face to a name, Jeff, to be honest.
White Christmas. She plays the hotel clerk, I think. She's married to someone. I can't remember who she's married to in that film. She's, I'm trying to think, she's rather, like I said, she's probably about 5'10". So, you know, so regardless of how tall Shemp was, she's a good anywhere from 3 to 4 inches taller. So an interesting mix, to say the least. But they're in a film which was essentially done to sort of, I don't know, boost morale, get people interested in the war effort, sort of, you know, get people engaged in more ways. The film is called Private Buckaroo, and it's amazing. It's one of the bigger roles Shemp has got. And in fact, a lot of people think, a lot of historians and a lot of fans think that that's one of Shemp's, if not his best, it's certainly one of his best solo efforts. He and Mary Wicks are sensational. And Shemp appears in one of the last scenes, possibly the last scene, I believe, with the Andrews sisters, big, big, big singing act of the day. You know, there he is up on stage. The numbers don't sit under the apple tree. There he is. He's doing his bit. He looked like a music comedy star. Another one of the stars of that film, by the way, was Donald O'Connor. So, and Shemp asked, he appeared with the Andrews sisters in 6 different films. He got around. And I'm telling you, if he would have been offered some more roles, he would have been a big, big name. I mean, he was a big name with the Stooges. And a lot of people who recognize his work as solo would say, yeah. But there were an awful lot of character actors in those days, a lot of competition. And considering that fact, I think that Shemp did a remarkable job. And I guess wish, and this is what I'm hoping, you know, other than selling my book, of course, other than that, I just would love to think at the end of the day, people would say, you know something, I'm going to check this fellow up because he's really interesting. I like him with the Stooges. Maybe I like Curly more in the Stooges. I don't know. That's not me talking. That's them. But you know something, it's really great to see him in a solo flick. So the choices are endless. There's 105 of them. So that's a lot of what about Shemp that just intrigues me no end.
You know what? I agree. I originally, as a kid, you know, I always thought of the Three Stooges as Mo, Curly, and Larry, you know, as I'm sure lots of people did, you know, because maybe, I don't know why that was my first exposure to them or whatnot. So to read up about Shemp and to find out that he was a big solo performer himself, and even, and I don't know, Jeff, if you can comment on this or not, but, you know, Shemp also, you know, in his private life, dealt with a lot of mental health issues. Like, he was incredibly phobic of things, correct?
He was, yeah, he had some phobias. And I think with a lot of this, and I don't want to downplay this, I think a lot of the phobias he had, or, you know, whatever fears he had, were played up somewhat by the press and even by coworkers and that. Because let's face it, you can sort of, you know, if you're talking about a guy who's supposedly afraid of his own shadow and doesn't like to walk on certain cracks in a sidewalk, it makes for good press, you know? So you can sort of build it up a bit. I do understand he didn't like flying, and I don't think he ever did fly. This business about him being afraid of dogs. Well, the reality was, yes, he was afraid of stray dogs because he did actually have several of his own dogs. Wasn't a dog lover as much as Curly, I would say. So I think you have to take the phobias with a grain of salt. But I think there is one really interesting point you bring up in his private life. He and his wife used to hold these absolutely sensational sort of weekly or weekend parties. And the big stars would show up. You know, Don Wynn would occasionally be there. Some of the Bowery boys would show up, like Hunts Hall, who, by the way, was, you know, linked. So Hunts Hall, Shemp Howard was his idol. It's as simple as that. And another one of the Bowery boys, Gabe Dell. I talked to his son, and he said, same thing. My dad just idolized Shemp. He had these great, great, great parties there. And I just wanted to give you a little bit, just without sort of going on too much about this. These are some of the people that he appeared with on film when he was back out there, when he started with the Vitaphone company. The very first short he did, his co-star, who was probably the leader, was Jack Haley. And basically, 6 years later, Jack Haley was none other than the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
1934, here's a good one for you. One of the people who in later years would show up at some of the parties, a certain actor who won a little Oscar for himself later. Jimmy Stewart, his very, very first film was an unbilled role in a short called Art Trouble, which was a Shemp Howard short. How's that?
That's some great trivia there. That's some awesome stuff.
It's a fun movie, and one of the things, there's a lot of things to pick out about the movie. It's what I find absolutely hysterically funny is another guy, James Stewart. I don't know, again, maybe 6'2", 6'3", whatever, having a little sort of cinematic fisticuffs with the much shorter Shemp. And it looks for all the world, of course it's all staged, it looks for all the world like Shemp is getting the better of it. And that is just absolutely hysterically funny to me. And later, I mean, he appears in another Thin Man, part of the Thin Man series. He had one line in a movie called Behind Prison Gates as one of the cons serving the star of the film, Brian Donlevy, serving him a meal. And it's just great. It's just one line. But when you deliver a line like this, this is makes it worse. Brian says to him, he says, "What do you call this stuff?" And he looks at him, he says, "You know, I just serve it. I don't have to identify it." And he walks away. And he was in a Charlie Chan film. He was in six films with Abbott Costello. He played Sinbad the Sailor in Arabian Nights, a film that was he was an older Sinbad, reflecting on his life. Arabian Nights was nominated for three or four Oscars, all technical, but nonetheless, still Oscars. I could go on and on and on and on. I mean, W.C. Fields, the film that Roger Ebert thinks is W.C. Fields' greatest film, The Bank Dick, the bartender is none other than Shemp.
Mm.
There you go. And I'll stop at that because, like I said, I don't want to give away too much of this because people will be saying, "Oh, this is great." They'll go out and buy the movies and won't buy my book. So
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jeff for just one moment to let you know about World's Greatest Comics. They're a great sponsor of the PVD cast, and they've got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, and they've got one world-class pull system. So if you're ever afraid of missing a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for the pull system. When it hits the stores, they'll hold it for you until you come in and pick it up. So they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they're also online. Just go to their website, wgcomics.com. You can even find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And no matter how you interact with the fine folks at World's Greatest, let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD cast. Let's talk a little bit about the book. You said you're halfway through.
Yeah.
So what is your writing process? How do you go about mapping things out?
That's a great question, because I've been a journalist now since, I've been a professional writer since 1975. So, God, that makes me incredibly old. But still, you know, I'm old. I've still got my hair and my teeth, and I've got a beard. So I'm not doing too badly. But I've always liked the Stooges. But Shemp, like I said, was the figure I wanted to do it. But it required a different set, a sort of skill sets for me. Because originally I had thought, let's just make this a biography. It's going to be the first book in Shemp. I went down to Los Angeles, had a chat with one of his granddaughters, Jill. She sort of does most of the talking for the family. Wonderful, wonderful person. Gave me some lovely, lovely stuff. Also had a chat with Shemp's daughter-in-law, Jerry. Great, another person, great. Gave me some stuff I couldn't have gotten from anyone other than a family member. And also Sandy is another granddaughter. Gave me some nice stuff. Gave me a wonderful description of the home life in terms of where they lived over the years in Los Angeles. So after this was done, I got back. I'd been to the film library in Beverly Hills. I thought to myself, after the first year of doing research, I can't do this as a straight biography, because what I really want to do is I want to reach out to the Stoogeholics. I want to reach out to those who are just sort of vaguely familiar with the Stooges. But I also want to put out the word, if I can, to those who really have no interest in the Stooges at all, because I think they'd be really interested in something that relates to today's entertainment business. So I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to try to find as many people as I can in the business today who not only remember Shem, but they actually admire him, respect him, and think he has a place in the business. So I got people like, you know, Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
I got Penn Jillet, huge Shem fan. I got Shecky Green, actually, he's 94 now. Actually knew Shem back in the 50s. Had a chat with him, which was wonderful. Dick Cavett, the talk show host from the back in the 60s, 70s. Chat with him. Gilbert Gottfried. In fact, when I called Gilbert one morning, it was great. I didn't just get an interview with him. I got a shtick. I basically got a monologue from him. He just did a routine. It was hilarious. So that's the idea now. The book now essentially is, by larger measures, it's probably a biography, but it's almost half or maybe a third appreciation. People back in the day, like Bud Abbott, who thought Shem was great, people like that, but people today, some new comics in the stand-up circuit. I've got a lot. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm thinking maybe 20, 30 people. I got a soap star who's a Shem fan. I don't know. Do you know much about TV soap operas?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a plug then for the women to read it. For all the women out there who know the character Scotty Baldwin on General Hospital, played by Kim Schreiner, he loves the Stooges. They call him Stooge off stage or when they're not filming a particular scene. He loves Shemp. His brother is a stand-up comic and a writer for things like the old Frasier show and Everybody Loves Raymond. Will Schreiner, another one, loves him. So that's what the book is. Hopefully it's going to be out. I'm keeping my fingers crossed and I'm touching wood, so that means I'm touching my head right now. And I'd love to get it out sometime, say maybe early summer, hopefully. That's you know, get the first draft of the manuscript out to my publisher. I don't know, sometime during the spring. We never know around here because in Canada you can get snow anytime. So
yeah.
Who knows? That's essentially, so like I said, it's a little different because I was a journalist doing mainly political things, sort of focusing on those issues, even some sports. So writing a biography like this was very different, and there was that change. So it's been a long haul, but I just hope when it gets out, people say, I didn't know that. That's really kind of cool. And this is what I want for the first book ever written on Shem. And if I do that, I'll be happy.
Well, sounds like you have your game plan set to go, Jeff. And I do have a couple of real quick final questions. Just talking about the Three Stooges in general, you know, you just mentioned how popular the Three Stooges are. Why do you think that they're so popular?
That's a good question, again. And that's something I wanted to check out with some people who actually teach courses. One of the gents I talked to has done a little work with some of the comedic acts from that time. Marx Brothers, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, and the Three Stooges. He said at one point, he had his class that particular day, he asked them to put their hands up if they recognized any of the acts. And I find this really unusual, and I'm not saying this is the same for everybody. Very few, and in some cases, nobody, put up their hands for acts like the Marx Brothers, Abbott Costello, Laurel and Hardy, but everybody, and including some of the female students, the Three Stooges, bango, it's up there. I think it's universal. I wouldn't say it's particularly innovative comedy, but I tell you, they do the job so well. The job is to make you laugh. It's absurdist. I mean, I really, really think it's funny. You know, it has, towards the end of the Stooges, their shorts, it wasn't as good as in the early days, but I find something always there to laugh. And in fact, when they sort of were somewhat, I wouldn't say reborn, but in the 60s, there they were doing feature films with the last of the Stooges, which was Curly Joe DeRita, and it had a big audience. They appeal to kids. I think that's one of it. And I think, too, that with a lot of people, especially men like myself, we never grow up. And Three Stooges is something from your past. And it certainly wasn't something from where I came originally, from England. It wasn't, they weren't an act that you would say, yet. I mean, they toured there, but they weren't a huge act there. But so I was introduced in Canada in 1958 when they came out, the shorts came out on the television. Oh, I loved it. So from the age of 8 on, and I don't think we ever grow out of it. That's probably the main thing. We just don't grow out of the Three Stooges. It makes us laugh. It makes me laugh. When I have a kidney stone, I put on a Three Stooges flick right away, and I can laugh it off for a while. That's it.
So you think that their ability to make people laugh and just to brighten someone's day, even if it's just for a few minutes, would probably be their lasting legacy?
I think so, and I hope so. Although with Shemp, I'd like people to, you know, I don't want people to turn around and say, yes, I could see him playing Julius Caesar in a Shakespearean production. I don't know, maybe he could. Maybe he could have played a court jester or something, or someone, a Roman centurion, whatever. I'd like them to look at Shemp and say, yeah, he makes me laugh. And you know something? He makes me laugh in the Stooges, and he makes me laugh outside of the Stooges. And I see a little bit of drama there, too. That's what I'd like to see about him that sort of gets to readers. And maybe you'll have a rebirth, and we'll have like a Shemp calendars out next year. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? Indeed. All right. Well, Jeff, where can folks get in touch with you and keep tabs on you and, you know, follow your process for the book and whatnot? Is there some social medias, a website, or anything that you'd like to plug right now?
Well, I did have a Google site for a while, but unfortunately, Google started, they ended those. So that sort of, that's where I used to submit my reviews, theater reviews, music reviews and such. I'm on Facebook all the time. I don't yet have a page. I'm trying to talk with a friend of mine who's much, much better at sort of, I don't know how to put it. I don't want to say a computer nerd, but understands the language and the design and that sort of thing. So I'm hoping within a month's time, I'm also going to have a Facebook page that's more directly or just basically associated with Shemp. But for the time being, anyone who wants to get me on Facebook, I spell my name the old British way, which is G-E-O-F-F. You can see me. I mean, you know, I occasionally put on a Shemp clip or something like that just to amuse myself. And I really do try. I'm trying desperately to be less and less and less political these days. And I think, you know, what we could all use is a lot of laughter. Hopefully Shemp can fill a void for some people. Certainly me, anyway.
Well, there you go. You know, I was going to put you on the spot, Jeff. And I don't know if you want to answer it, that's fine. I was going to put you on the spot and ask you, what is your favorite Shemp Three Stooges memory?
Well, I'll tell you my favorite short is Bridal's Groom. Yeah, Bridal's Groom. I think that is just absolutely brilliantly funny. And it features good old Emil Zipka. He's basically, he does an awful lot of, he did an awful lot of work for them. And he plays the minister trying to marry off Shemp. Again, I'm not going to give the whole plot away. And it's famous. The line he says, "Hold hands, you lovebirds." That is the line that everyone remembers that Emil said. But Shemp in that is great. Larry's great. Mo is great. It's to me, it's, and actually the one that I tied with that one, and I'm sort of hedging now, when he came back with the Stooges, because Curly was so ill and sadly did die eventually at the age of 52. Anyway, he came back in a 47 short was called Fright Night. And yet again, the topic was boxing. And Shemp was brilliant. So Bridal's Groom, Fright Night. Those are my two off the top of my head. And there's a lot more. But I'm going to give you those as my two top.
All right. Well, Jeff, again, thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. It's nice talking to you.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jeff Dale, talking about his book about Shemp Howard. And I will definitely let you know when it's finished and when it's on store shelves so you can swing by your favorite retailer and pick up a copy. But I think it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question or comment about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. And if you want, you can even shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. And now let me tell you where you can find the PVDcast, just in case you want to tell some folks about it. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and it's available there as well as throughout all of those major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Deezer, iHeartRadio app. Just go to your favorite podcasting platform, plug in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it in the search engine and you should find it. And don't forget about the live broadcast every single Monday through the Facebook page. Just search again for at PVDcast, where I will share this week's episode and interact with you. So it's a great time. You need to check it out. But if you maybe forget about it or you miss it, you could catch replay of the live broadcast through the Scene Snobs Facebook page, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. And I almost forgot to mention, it's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page at PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I should get on out of here. I thank you very much once again for checking out this episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.